Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name is Nadia, and today we are doing episode 11. Ladies, if you're struggling with things in your past and they are haunting you, they are plaguing you, and here you are as a born-again believer, and somehow the past is always in the back of your mind, this is a story for you, because it's not about the past. It's about where you're going and how God transforms lives. And speaking of the past, let's talk about genealogy for a moment. A couple of years back, and I come from a Slovenian background, my mother got her genealogy from her sister in Slovenia, and it was very interesting. It dated all the way back to the 1700s. And it was interesting to see some of the finds that were in that genealogy. And so before I talk about that, I'll just mention that my oldest daughter, her name is Katrina, and we named Katrina after my mother-in-law, who was Greek. And that's part of the Greek or European tradition. Very often you would name your children after your parents. And my mother-in-law's name was Catherine, and so Katrina is a derivative of it. So what was interesting, back to the Slovenian genealogy, we discovered that there were many Katarinas all dotted through the genealogy from the 1700s. And so it was so interesting to see that there were Katarinas on that side too. And you will find interesting things in genealogies. So going straight to Jesus's genealogy, when we take a hard look at his genealogy, we see that there are heroes of faith, there are men of God, there are very interesting characters and some unsavory characters, people that you would not quite expect to see. Three of them being women. One of them, Ruth, was a Moabitess. She was an idol worshiper. She is in Jesus's genealogy. Then we see Tamar, who was the daughter-in-law of Judah, and she masqueraded herself as a prostitute so that she could sleep with her father-in-law and then have some kind of lineage of her own. Can you imagine? Crazy story, I know, but we're going to talk about that at a later date. But the lady that we are talking about today was also a prostitute. She didn't masquerade herself as a prostitute. She was, in fact, a harlot. And her name was Rahab. And you will discover today as we talk about Rahab, yes, she may have had a past, but God used her. And that's what I love about the story of Rahab, that no matter what our past is, God can still use that past for his glory. So we're going to turn now at this point to Joshua chapter 2. Now, Rahab's mentioned in a couple places in the Bible, also in the New Testament. And we're going to talk about that because we will see how she is a woman of courage, a woman of faith, a woman who will inspire you. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 2. We're going to get to this story. Joshua chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Achia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all of the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan and to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Wow, we'll stop right there. Very interesting story. So, what do we know about Rahab? Well, we know that she was a pagan worshiper, she was a Canaanite, and she was a prostitute. She was a harlot. And as I've done the other times for those women that we know who are named in the Bible, what does Rahab mean? Well, Rahab comes from Rakav in Hebrew, which means big space or large space. And in Hebrew, more specifically, the abyss. Rahab was headed for the abyss with the kind of life that she led. But the great part of this story was it was like she traded spaces or traded places, this large space for another large space for the heavens, the heavenly realm. So this story doesn't end like this. This is the beautiful part of God's faithfulness and God's grace. And so, what else do we know about Rahab? Well, not in this point. We don't know too much, but I will tell you, she is the mother or was the mother of Boaz. Who was Boaz? Boaz was the man who married Ruth in the Bible. So you can tell there was a great change that took place in Rahab's life. She raised up a son of righteousness. And wow, I love this redeeming story because God is all about redemption. And so we have to understand God had a plan in this story, like he has a plan in your life. Ladies, you got to remember, when it came to the Israelites, when it came to Joshua, he sent out 12 spies. Do you remember that? He sent out 12 spies to spy the land. And of course, it was a land flowing with milk and honey, but there were also giants. So why would he have to send out spies again? He didn't really need to. This wasn't about spying out the land. This was the ordination of God because he had a plan for Rahab. And let me tell you something, ladies. You know what? She had her past. She had things in her life, but this is the kind of redeeming God that we serve. So no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, when you turn to God in faith, let me tell you something. He will unfold a great plan in your life like he did right here. So God specifically sent these spies for Rahab. So, what do we see? We see the spies went to her house. They're spying out the land. They went to Jericho. They end up in a harlot's house. Let me tell you, they weren't there for anything, but it seems like a very unlikely place for the spies to end up. Why? Because God had a plan. God led them there. And the first thing I want you to see today is that the promised land is for everyone. It doesn't matter what your past is, who you are, where you've come from, what you've done. You know, when we look at people in the Bible, the Bible is filled with characters who are flawed, characters who had issues. Think about Jonah, he ran away from God. Think about the disciples, the three disciples who were praying with Jesus, they failed him. They couldn't even stay and pray. Think about Peter. Peter denied Christ and God still used him. Jacob was a liar. Martha, she was a worrier. She didn't even really have faith. She worried about everything. God still used her. David, great King David, a man after God's own heart. Look at him. He was a murderer and an adulterer, and God used him. And so, this is a picture, ladies, of God's grace. Whatever you have done in your life, like I said earlier, whether it was something even in your Christian life, if you've repented of it, let me tell you something. God is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth. He loves you. He will turn it around. And so we see when we think of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all of us. We are all flawed. We are all sinful. Romans says that none is righteous. No, not even one. None of us. You know, sometimes we elevate sin. Oh, that person's a really sinful person. They committed adultery. But let me tell you something. What about gluttony? Do we ever talk about gluttony? You know, the sins of the flesh, that's still of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh. We always think it's sexual, but lusts of the flesh. How about overeating? That's not being honoring to our vessel, the vessel where the Holy Spirit dwells. Think about that. Sin is sin. We're the ones. People are the ones who put it on different hierarchies. Whether you tell a lie or whether you commit murder, it's sin in front of God, not one righteous. And that's why God can use flawed people, whatever we have done. And here's this harlot that God uses. The Apostle Peter put it this way in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." What a God we serve. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't matter what your past is. Turn to him and he'll turn it all around. Praise God. What else do we see? That when we move into the promised land, you know what? It requires a sacrifice. Now think about Rahab. Rahab's lived in Jericho. We were in Jericho, one of our Israel trips. And let me tell you, it's a very interesting place. And yes, it's in the wilderness, it's in the desert. So what are you thinking? What did Rahab possibly risk? Well, you know what? It didn't seem like she had anything, but she was in quite a fortified city. So she was risking her own life. She was willing to sacrifice, and we see that. And look what she did. She spoke to the men who now showed up at her house, and she protected these spies. Verses 4 and 5. Then the woman who took the two men and hid them said, so she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. And where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." Ladies, listen, she not only intentionally hid strangers, these spies, but she also lied for them. Talk about sacrifice. You know, this was the king who sent this order, sent this these men to go speak to her. You know, she risked a lot, willing to risk her life with her newfound faith. You're saying, what faith? Oh, we'll talk about that right now. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8. Now, before the men, these are the men, of course, the spies, they were up on the roof, they lay down. She came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know, listen to this, ladies, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to those two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any one of us because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." We'll stop right there. Now look at this. Here was the king. He sent a search party. He sent men. Okay, you know what? They took the word of Rahab. I guess these men took off. They sent a search party right to the River Jordan. And meanwhile, when it became dark, when the men, the spies were up on the roof about to sleep, she goes up and she says, she pours out her heart. She tells him about her faith and what she believes. And she also reveals her true intent. "Please save my family. Save my family." So let's talk about some incredible characteristics of Rahab. What do we see right here? First of all, Rahab puts others first. She puts others first. And so, yes, she was a prostitute. Yes, it seems like she was self-indulgent, but she not only cared about her family, that she wanted her family to be protected, but she protected these two strangers, these two spies. She risked her own life. Wow. Talk about an incredible trait that she has. And what else do we see? We see that Rahab feared God more than her idols. Remember, ladies, she came from a Canaanite land filled with idols. But what was interesting is, look at this. She knew the power of God. She knew the power of deliverance. Look what it says in verse 10. This is very important. It says here, "For we have heard all the people. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea." So she's saying, hey, all the people of Jericho, we've heard these incredible feats that God did. They heard with their ears, but did they believe with their hearts? Two different things. You know how many people hear the gospel? They hear, but they do nothing about it. So she was talking about, they have heard, but they didn't repent. And look at this, verse 11. "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For," get this part, "for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." You see, she was stating she believed in God. See, everybody's hearts melted. They were all afraid. You know, sometimes people hear about, oh yeah, you know, the wrath of God, but they do nothing. They know there's a wrath coming. They know Jesus is coming back, but yeah, they will still live the Epicurean way, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. They don't care. Remember, during COVID, everybody, oh, this must be a sign from God, must be a sign. Oh, you know, and all of a sudden, lots of people were watching online services, and oh, what does this mean? What does this mean? But did people repent? No. People still back to their own ways. Oh yes, they hear, they know, they see the signs, the things that are happening, but do they repent? No. She took it deeper than just hearing. It went into her heart. She believed. She stated, "He is God, God of the heavens, God of the earth." Oh, her faith made all the difference. What else do we see about Rahab? Rahab here feared God more than the human king. Think about this. It was the king who sent men to her house. Wow, imagine that. Imagine the president or the prime minister sending people to your house. It's like, oh my goodness, I better do the right thing here, otherwise I'm going to be in trouble. She didn't care about what the king did. She feared God more than the king. The fear of man is a snare. Wow, talk about taking a risk. Talk about having faith. You see, she knew. She stated, hey, all these things happen. It's only a matter of time that the clock's ticking for Jericho. You're going to obliterate this place too. She believed. She believed. It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, I'm scared with what happened, but just continued on doing whatever she was doing. She believed. Wow, she trusted God. She trusted him so much. She was just saying, please spare the lives of my family. And just think about it. You know, here she's living, and we'll see in the next verses that I'm going to read. She was actually living in the wall of Jericho. She was living on the wall. Now, history tells us that the wall was approximately 46 feet high, at least 6 feet wide. It was huge. It was massive. Anybody living in that kind of wall must feel quite protected. But she knew. This was God you're dealing with. You know, it didn't matter what kind of wall. If the wall went up to the sky, he was going to bring it down. That's the kind of faith that she had. She believed. Let's look at verses 14. Let's read from there. "So the man answered her, 'Our lives for your lives. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you.' Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall." She dwelt on the wall, as I said. "And she said to them, 'Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterwards, you may go your way.' So the men said to her, 'We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your home, so it shall be. Whoever goes outside those doors of yours, of your house, into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in this house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from your oath which you swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain, and they stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Wow. So we see that the spies here, that's the recap, they offer their own lives, that, okay, fine, we will protect you, but you have to do this thing. First of all, you better not tell anybody, because otherwise this oath is broken. So you keep this business of ours, you keep it hush hush. Secondly, put that scarlet cord in the window. It's got to be there. And this way we will know not to attack your house. You make sure all of your family is in the house. You be there at the time this happens, and all of you will be protected. But if any of the family kind of goes out on the street, we're not responsible for what happens to them. And so that's what happens in all of this. So, more little tidbits about Rahab. We see she was a really shrewd woman. You know, she had a plan. When all of this took place, think about it. She found the spies. The spies came to her. She hid them. She had a plan. She diverted those pursuers on another goose chase someplace else. But she also knew the territory very well. She knew the politics very well. She kind of figured, okay, maybe 3 days. Go hide in this place. They probably won't find you. She was shrewd. She had a plan. She knew what was going around her. She was a smart woman. She was intelligent. What else do we see? She was a woman of her word. Oh, she was going to keep her word. She was going to make sure that she was going to keep quiet about this, that she was going to bring her family in to her household, that all of this was going to transpire according to what was said. Now, this scarlet cord, oh, how important this is. You know, this scarlet cord is indicative of a couple of things. You remember, of course, before the Israelites traversed the Red Sea, right before that, Passover took place. And we knew the story, of course, was that the Israelites were supposed to have Passover, take the blood of the lamb, put it on their doorpost, because the death angel was going to pass over the land of Egypt, kill all the firstborn males. But if the blood, the crimson, the scarlet blood was over their doorposts, their household would be protected from slaughter. Their household would be saved. The death angel would pass over. Well, here's another picture of it. This scarlet cord was there on the house. And again, everybody had to be inside. Those that were in the house, when this calamity would take place in Jericho, when the slaughter would take place, their household would be protected. This scarlet cord was a symbol of salvation, was a symbol of protection, was a symbol of God's grace. And it spills into the New Testament when we see with Jesus, his blood covers us. His blood protects us. His blood is upon our lives, the household of faith, as it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. When we are part of the household of faith, blood covers us, the blood of Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful picture that we see of the blood. Scarlet cord symbolizing salvation, God's grace. And what else do we see? Moving to the promised land requires real faith, real faith. I mean, you got to think about this. These two spies, they're told by Rahab, okay, you know what? Here's a good place to hide. Go up into the mountains and stay there for 3 days. It's like, okay, this is her. She's part of the enemy's camp, but we're going to listen to her. It required faith on their part. But think about the faith of Rahab also, her faith. And, you know, think about how she had to tell the rest of her family that this was going to transpire. In fact, she was a witness to them. She witnessed through the faith that she had that God was going to protect them. And not only that, we don't know how long she actually stayed there in the house. They had to wait some time. They had to wait. And of course, we know when it came to Jericho that the Israelites marched around Jericho for 6 days and then the seventh day. But then there is time that transpired before that, because when it actually took place, we're in Joshua chapter 2, was Joshua chapter 6. So it required faith on her part, faith. And what do we see? Wow, God rewarded Rahab in the end. Rahab's faith was rewarded. How do we know that? Well, we all know Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of faith, the faith chapter in the Bible. Rahab is mentioned. Look at verse 25. Verse 25 of Joshua chapter 6. Let's just go right back there. It was rewarded. Here it says, after Jericho was taken over, it says here, Joshua 6:25, and Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So we see her whole family was saved. And back to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at Hebrews 11:31. Wow, she is one of the most honored women in the Bible. Why? She is put in the faith chapter. Look at this. Hebrews 11:31, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when they had received the spies with peace. Think about it. Think about it. Rahab had no doubt that the Israelites were going to take this city. Again, remember, all the people of Jericho heard the stories of the Israelites. Yeah, they believed in God, but they didn't believe God. How many people today say they believe in God, but there's no evidence of a changed life? There's a difference in believing in God and believing God. They believe he exists. Oh yeah, he's there. I believe in God. There's no fruit in a person's life. There was no fruit in the people of Jericho, but she believed God. And here, look at this. She was another illustration. James, the book of James, James 2:25 speaks of her. Look at this. And this is an illustration of works. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Oh, ladies, we know, as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, we are not saved through good works, lest we boast. It is by the grace of God. Listen, but here she was mentioned in the faith chapter, and we see she's mentioned in James for her works. Faith without works is dead. Wow, what a woman of God. And you have to realize that here the spies report. This is another great little tidbit to notice about Rahab. Look and see what her faith, how it impacted the spies, the two spies. Look at the end of Joshua chapter 2, verse 24. When the spies get off the mountain, they go back to see Joshua, the son of Nun. This is what they said. They said, verse 24, and they said to Joshua, truly, Again, I'll say this again. Truly, truly is that word is an affirmation. It's like, oh, okay. Truly, truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Look at that. So, ladies, understand this, that when she spoke to these spies and told them and believed and just said that everybody was faint-hearted, their hearts melted, nobody had courage except her. They all had no courage except her. She had the courage. She took the risk. This was a witness. This was an incredible witness to the spies that, wow, you know what? We can do this. And truly, the Lord has delivered Jericho into our hands. Praise God. And so we see how Rahab's faith rubbed off onto the spies. And lastly, just before I close, I just want to say how most important thing about the story again is the faithfulness, the grace of God. We just see, you know, God took this character, took Rahab, not part of the people of God, and because of her faith, you know what? Just completely changed the story. This part of Rahab, it didn't even have to be in there, but he weaved her into the lineage of Jesus. How amazing that is! God shows his grace to all peoples. Just as I read a little earlier from Acts chapter 10 with what Peter had said. And what was the result of all of this? Well, again, it's back to the genealogy. Yes, we're going to talk about the past, not Rahab's past, but we're going to talk about genealogy. Who did Rahab marry? Rahab married a man by the name of Salmon. Some people pronounce it Salmon, but Salmon. And he's not mentioned in the Old Testament, but he's mentioned in the lineage in the New Testament. Married Salmon, and together they had a son. They raised up a righteous son named Boaz, who married Ruth. And they had a son named Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse. And Jesse had a son named David, King David. And so Rahab was King David's great great grandmother. Wow. David being part of the messianic lineage, part of Christ, the tribe of Judah. Wow, how God had honored her. It didn't matter about her past anymore, but it all mattered because God had changed her heart. She took that step of faith, believed God for what he was going to do. Wow. So when you think about it, yes, she witnessed to her family. They weren't harlots, but she brought in her family and they were all saved. And let me tell you something, when it comes to God and his redemption, it's all about redemption. The Bible is a story about redemption. This is a story about redeeming love, how God redeemed Rahab, her family, despite her past. God is all about finding that lost coin. It's all about embracing. He's about embracing the prodigal sons. He could be found in the department of the lost and found. That's his department. And this is how he relates to you and I. It doesn't matter the kinds of things that we have done in the past. God is a God of forgiveness. It's the devil who wants to remind us constantly and plague our minds with all the things that we have done. And again, sometimes it's the past before we came to Christ. And sometimes it's the past within our Christian walk. Sometimes maybe, ladies, you've done some things that you're not proud about. But let me tell you something. God is a God of redeeming love. And when we confessed our sins, he is righteous and faithful to forgive us. We are a new creation in Christ, and she became that new creation in Christ. And we see that we can start over, ladies. You might be plagued with something from your past right now. And again, you keep thinking about it over and over again. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't do that. And again, that's not the Lord. That's the enemy constantly reminding us, constantly trying to bind us, to keep us in chains from moving forward, because it's all about moving forward. Rahab's new direction was the promised land. As I mentioned before, Rahab means big space. It meant the abyss. And again, she traded spaces, she traded places for that heavenly kingdom. A new big space, a new big place. And so as long as you have breath, maybe there's something that you need to repent of. And it's, you know what? You just ask the Lord for forgiveness and then you move forward. Don't be like Lot's wife looking back, but move forward. Ladies, God wants us to be a woman of courage, a woman of faith like Rahab, a woman who believes God like Rahab, a woman who takes risks like Rahab, and a woman who looks to the promised land. That's what she did. She looked towards salvation. Let's look and keep our eyes fixated on him. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just thank you. Thank you today for, oh God, your word, again, your word, which is just so rich and full of life and speaks to all of our hearts. No matter what character in the Bible, Father, that, Lord, we look at, there is something that we can reflect upon in our own lives. And Lord Jesus, help us not to look at our past. Lord, we know that our past sometimes, oh God, Lord, is there to remind us of what we have been delivered from. And we see with Rahab, she was delivered from her harlotry. And we too have been delivered from our harlotry, from other loves in our lives, Lord, who were not you. You are our first love. And Lord Jesus, today we look to you. Today we look to you for redemption. We look to you for saving grace. We look to you to bury our past completely, Lord. And we look to you for a great future, because Lord Jesus, you love us. And Lord, we cannot thank you enough for the grace, for the mercy of God. Lord, you stopped just for us, like you stopped for Rahab. And Lord, you weaved her into that story of Jericho, all because of who she was and what you wanted to do in her life. Lord, we are the same. Just use us, oh God, despite our pasts. We thank you that all our transgressions, Lord, as red as they may be, oh God, but Lord Jesus, your blood covers all. And thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for salvation. We pray for salvation over our households. And we pray, oh God, that you renew a right spirit within us. Lord, today's a new day and we take hold of it. We seize it, Lord. And we want to live for you. Thank you again for what you have done in our lives and what you will continue to do as we keep our eyes transfixed on the promised land and transfixed on Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, ladies. It was a pleasure doing this episode today. And next time we're going to be going into the New Testament, also talking about a person that had an interesting past. And but until then, may the Lord richly bless you and your families, and don't forget to just draw closer and closer to him every day. Throw that past behind you, put it behind you, and keep running that race. God has great things in store for you in your lives. He'll bless you, and God be with you until we see you again. Bye for now.